Amen. And if you would turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And as you turn there, if I could ask you a question, does obedience to the Word of God come with benefits? Okay, this is an easy question, right? So Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting in verse 27. Deuteronomy 11 and 27 says this, a blessing, you could say a benefit, if you obey the commandments of the Lord, which I command you this day. So if you answered yes, there are benefits to obeying or being in obedience to the Word of God, then you were correct. So if I ask you another question, so then does disobedience to the Word of God come with consequences? You are a sharp group of people tonight. Let's read the next verse, Deuteronomy 11, 28. And a curse, a consequence, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day. Pretty straightforward stuff, right? Obey, get benefits. Disobey, get consequences. I mean, it's true in the Word of God. It's true in the world around us. It's true. Another question, and this isn't a yes or no, right or wrong answer. It's just, you know, who wants it to go well for them in their lives? Show of hands. We don't have to turn there, but Jeremiah 7:23 says, the end of the verse says, that it may be well with you. And so it's giving you the end result, the outcome, you might say. So if we, well, how do I get to that point where it may be well with me? Beginning in verse 23 of Jeremiah chapter 7, it says, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. So simple. If you will listen to the voice of God, if you'll listen and follow the directions of God, it will be well. It will, even in the bad situations, be well. The net outcome of whatever you're in, it will be well, if. Amen. Would you pray with me tonight? Jesus, we're grateful for the benefits. God, we're grateful for the directions, God, that we can apply them to our lives and see time and time again how your word is true. And it builds faith in us to do more and to apply more of your word to our life. And we just thank you for this opportunity again tonight to open up your word. We pray that you'll touch our hearts and our minds, that everything will be done according to your will. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we've clearly established obedience is a good thing. So I asked you if a similar question, are there benefits to being obedient to the Word of God when it comes to submission? Took you a minute to think about that one. If we're being obedient to the Word of God, regardless of the topic, there's benefits. If we're not obedient, there's consequences. And so I know submission is everyone's favorite topic, right? You're hoping. And in fact, I think someone sent me a couple notes saying, please, please, let's hear about submission tonight. So we have, and knowing that, you know, conversely, if we willfully are disobedient to what the Bible says about submission, then there are consequences. So we all want the blessings, we don't want the consequences. So in order to make sure this thing works out for all of us, we better find out what the Bible says about submission. Amen. Well, good thing you're here tonight, because that's what we're going to talk about. I know submission isn't popular. It's not a popular concept in this world at all. In fact, you'll never hear anything like this anywhere outside of these walls. And in fact, until I came into a church, a spirit-filled church, I had no idea about this principle of submission. But now over time, I've seen the benefits and the consequences in my own life. And so, you know, now having that experience, I'm excited tonight to be able to share with you what submission looks like, and we're not going to leave anything out. We're going to, it's an exhaustive study. I'll make sure we don't exhaust you in the process. But the Bible's very, very specific, and it prescribes in clear language what submission is according to the Word of God in a number of areas in our lives. And so the areas we're going to touch on is what the Bible touches on, submitting to one another, submitting to government, submitting to our employers, submitting to spiritual authority, and even what submission looks like within the family. We're going to touch on each and every one of those, and you know, we could really start anywhere. But since we're in church, we might as well start close to home, and we'll talk about spiritual authority as one of the first topics. So God, He appoints spiritual authority in our lives in order to protect us, in order to guide us. You know, Pastor has said it many times. He's not a hireling. This isn't a career path He chose. God chose him, and He listened and obeyed, and I'm grateful, because had He not, I wouldn't have this truth that I have, because He was obedient. His obedience has benefacted all. We're the benefactors of that. Hebrews 13 and 17 says, well, why don't you turn there with me, Hebrews 13 and 17. Hebrews 13 and 17 says this, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit, everyone's favorite word, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So the pastor is going to have to give an account for every one of the people that God has put under his spiritual authority. And it's either going to be a good account or it's going to be a bad account. And the Bible calls it out once again. If it's a bad account, that's not good for you. And we're not just talking about the life hereafter. We're talking about it's not good for you in this present day and age. So again, we want the good. We want to have a life that is good, that has the things and right. So we better find out what the Bible says so that we can count on that. Spiritual authority leads by example, not by command and control. And so as soon as we get into this subject of spiritual authority and we talk about, well, just submit, and it's not with a heavy hand. In fact, the Bible says, and you don't have to turn there, in 1 Peter 5, starting verse 2, talking about how that spiritual authority should conduct themselves. It says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. You know, no church will ever grow to a greater level of commitment to God than their pastor or their leadership. It'll never happen. Because that is the example. And, you know, I've said this once before, I think, but you know, there's times when people, I'll just say it, they go church shopping. And, you know, if you're shopping tonight and you're here, you obviously found a good spot, so you should just stop shopping. I don't know if that's the case, but, so I don't want to offend you if that's the case, because maybe God, I shouldn't say maybe. There's no maybes. If you're in this place tonight, God has brought you here for a reason. But as they go shopping, they're looking, that you often hear, and I even heard this from my own parents, as they live in Florida half the year, and they were looking to find a new church down there for the time, that 6 months that they lived down there, and I almost feel bad saying this, but my dad's response was, we finally found a church where I can wear my shorts, because all the guys wear shorts there. I'm like, if that's what you're looking for, you're looking for comfort. Really? No, in fact, honestly, if you're looking for a church, you should look for a place that you aren't comfortable in, because what it shows you is there's an example that will guide you to a place of greater depth in life with God. You know, I think some people actually put themselves in a place where it's lower so they can put themselves higher in the ranking, relatively speaking. Amen. But they aren't helping themselves. They're setting themselves up. Spiritual authority leads by the Word of God. You know, Revelation 22 says, if any man take away or add to, he's going to take their name out of the book. And so it's a safe place to be under spiritual authority that doesn't rule by command and control, doesn't beat people into submission, but leads by example and says, this is what a life that's fashioned after God should look like. And it inspires us to want to be like that. And it's always according to the word of God. So as long as we can always bring back to that, and we know our pastor gives us more scripture on a regular basis than probably most any other pastor that I've ever heard of. You know, I get worried sometimes when people will speak and they use one scripture and then the rest of it is just their editorial. Not that it's not God and he's not in it, but I feel safe when I hear more scripture because then it's not just an opinion. Oftentimes in Bible studies, as I'm teaching, I'll be very upfront saying, hey, if we can't find a scripture that says this clearly and plainly, I'll let you know this is just my opinion or the opinion of my pastor, or right, just so you know, because I don't want there ever be a confusion that what I'm saying is Bible fact, because some things just aren't that clearly spelled out. But luckily for all of us, submission is very clearly spelled out. There really isn't a lot of gray area when it comes to submission. And so the last scripture on this point of spiritual authority, the word of God actually begs us to submit ourselves to the ministry that God has put in our lives. In fact, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16. It says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves, there you go, submit again, yourselves unto such, that talking about that ministry that is just there for you and has always there, been there for you and has cried with you and has laughed with you and has celebrated with you and has mourned with you, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth with us. And so that's all of us, really. Submit yourselves to the ministry. You know, I'll share a testimony of my own learning of in this process and this principle of submission. And I shared this once before, and I don't share this testimony, I want to say lightly, but now many years ago, I don't even remember how many years ago it was that a pastor asked me if I would consider pursuing a license with the United Pentecostal Church. And honestly, I wasn't that interested. I was like, I don't need a license to do and be or whatever God wants. You know, that's not a requirement, really. It's just a thing. And, you know, there's a process you have to go through, and there's books you have to read, and there's a test you have to take, and there's a process to it all. And so I don't proudly admit that I kind of drug my heels. Like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years worth of dragging my heels. Like, a lot. Slow. And if you know me very well, you know if I have something set in my mind, like I can't stop thinking about it, and I just do until it's done. So obviously this wasn't me submitting to that direction, so to speak. And over this period of time, you know, I asked God over and over, well, God, I want to hear it from you, God. I want you to tell me this is what I should do. And I didn't get an answer. I pray this prayer on a regular basis in prayer. God, I don't want to enter into this thing because it's me. I want it to enter in because it's you. And you, God, I hear your voice. I feel your touch. I know your direction. I know the difference between my voice and your voice. So just tell me, God. It's good to go. You should go that way. And years went by, and I never got an answer. And I would say years went by, and I don't even know how many went by. But one day in prayer, I was asking the question again, and I finally got an answer, but it wasn't the answer I expected. God said, I did, when the man of God asked you. See, sometimes we don't have to hear for ourselves if God has given the man of God in our lives the spiritual authority that he placed in our lives. I learned a lesson that day, and I repented for dragging my heels. Our submission within the church even extends to one another. And so if we go on to the next topic on our list of areas of submission, I'll read this one to you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and 5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." And so right there's a catch-all. If you're older or younger, we should submit to one another, every one of us. Amen. So I don't think there's anyone that excludes. Amen. All of us should submit to all of us, preferring one another. So let me act out this scenario, and you can tell me whether or not which side of submission I'm on. You know, if I pretend it's before church, and here we are, and I walk up and say, "You know, this is my seat. I always sit here." Which side of submission am I on?
The wrong side.
The wrong side. Amen. Good thing this isn't my seat, so we're good. Right? Well, there you go. See, I still have it in me. Now, sit in my seat and we'll find out for real whether or not, right, if I've prayed up. I've been thinking about it. Someday maybe we should just all switch seats.
Good idea.
There's some spiritual people I see that actually move on a semi-regular basis around the church. And I think it has something to do with they just don't want to get stuck in that one mode, right? Or somebody offended. I hope it wasn't somebody that offended them. No, it's the better side of the story. I'm certain of that. You know, the Bible says they'll know the true church by the love they have one for another, as long as you don't steal my seat or park in my spot. Submitting, preferring. So the next one we need to submit to is our employer. How many of us are employed, have someone that we work for that when we do that work, we get money in exchange for it? Most of us. It's not to say if you're an at-home mom, you aren't as equally important. The pay is just not very good. The benefits are great. The pay isn't very... Your reward is in another fashion. But if you are employed, in a traditional sense, 1 Peter 2:18 says this. I'll read it to you. "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward." So the Bible says that we need to be subject or submit to those that are in charge of us, not just the good bosses, but the bad bosses as well. It goes on to say in Ephesians, if you'll turn to Ephesians 6 with me, when I think about who, in an employment sense, who do I need to submit to? Well, first I need to submit to my boss, whoever I'm under, whoever I report to, whoever does my annual performance review, likely, and then their boss, so my boss's boss, and my boss's boss's boss, because they're all in an authority position over where I am relative to the job that I have. And so Ephesians 6 and 5 says this, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from our heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." And so in our submission to our employer, we need to do our best, as if it was we were working for God, because you know who actually pays our paycheck? It's not our employer. It's God who makes that provision possible. And he can take that provision away just as easily as he gave it. And it's not just employees that need to submit, but actually bosses need to submit to employees as well. If we go on and read in that same portion of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, Some of you may be a manager or in some sort of management role, and you know that you actually become the servant of all, not the taskmaster of all. Well, at least, and if you're doing it according to the Bible, it gives us some instructions right here that even in a similar sense, Ephesians 6 and 8, and ye masters, or let's say managers, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. So don't go and threaten that you're going to, you know, fire them if they don't do this, or put them in a position like you wouldn't want a pastor cornering you and saying, you better, right? It's not through command and control. It's through an example. Let me show you. I'm going to work hard. You should work hard too. I'm going to submit to you and prefer you even when it's not my preference. As a manager, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. He doesn't care if you're a manager or the worker. He just cares that you submit to one another. Now, if your boss isn't in the church, I probably wouldn't bring this portion of scripture up during your annual review. Say, well, you know, really, you should be submitting to me as much as I submit to you. I probably wouldn't go there, but if you are in that position, now you have the obligation to either conform to the word of God and receive the benefits, or the opposite. You know, I have been in with some employers through so many managers, it's crazy. Like, things just change and change and change and change. And there's been some great managers that God has led in my life that have really helped me and developed me, and did it in a way where I didn't even know it was taking place. Like, they just were so good at managing. And I think I'll give you the specific example. They would always ask really good questions. They would never tell me what to do. They would say, well, did you consider this? And I'd be like, no, not at all. Well, think on that then. And I'd think on it, and I'd realize they had something I didn't see or know, and all of a sudden now I could add that to me, and next time I knew. But they were never like, no, that's all wrong. You're no good at your job, blah, 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 right? That was never the good managers, but I've had some bad ones too. I've had many managers. But I know in one case, my last employer had a couple great years, and then all of a sudden things changed, and again, management changed, and I had a new manager, and in fact, this new manager was like brand new. Like, he didn't know anything that was going on. He essentially took the spot I had, and I was somewhat demoted, and so I wasn't feeling really good about this relationship. But I said, you know, God, I don't know what you're doing here, but I know you're in control. I don't have to know the end result. I'm just going to know that I'm going to do my best. And I did. And it wasn't really fun, but it was, you know, I still had a paycheck. I still had a job, so that part was good. And 6 months, maybe even 10 months went by, and this process continued. And through that, all of a sudden, I was doing some work for him or for the project we were on. And I had to meet with some potential suppliers. And the first meeting went really well. So then I went back a second time, and they happened to be out of Chicago. And 3 weeks later, I had a brand new job. Now, had I not submitted to my not-so-great favorite boss, would I have had the opportunity to go down and meet my new future employer that I had no idea was going to be my future employer? I would say probably not. I could have thrown a stink and complained and said, this isn't right. Look, I've got way more experience. This guy doesn't even, he's brand new, he's green, has no idea. But I didn't. And I could share a number of stories similar to that on both sides of the equation. I wish I could say I was always good at that. But I'm working on it too. It's a process. Okay, so we covered spiritual authority. We covered each other. We just talked about employers and bosses. And now the next one we want to touch on is government. And so our submission to authority extends outside of all the things, even the church walls, to the government that we are under, because all power is given according to God. There is no one that has authority except God gave it to them. Even the bad ones got it from God. And so Matthew 22 and 21, you can turn there with me. Matthew 22 and 21 says, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Well, we don't have a Caesar anymore, but we still have the IRS. I guess that's the new Caesar. And they do render things from us. But God has put all authority over us, and so regardless of whether we like it or dislike it, we have an obligation to obey or be obedient and render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And since it's April 15th is right around the corner, we still might have a little time to warn you that, you know, knowingly falsifying your income on your tax return would be disobedience to the word of God. I mean, God doesn't need your help to bless you financially and get you a better return. In fact, you need God's help through your obedience so that he can bless you. We think sometimes that we can do this or that and it's no big deal. And it may not even turn into an audit or one of those, you know, some bad situation, but there's a scale in heaven that God is, he knows everything one way or another, and the more we conform, the better things get. The less we conform, the worse things get. And it's up to us how far we want to go, and there's no end on either end of the spectrum. But in the 20 years now since I've come into this truth, the more I see God's word come to fruition, the more it makes me want to conform to more of God's word. And so then I don't even want to question, because I see there's benefits everywhere. Sometimes you see him in the moment, and sometimes you see him in the bigger picture, and sometimes you don't see him until you take a few steps back, but they're always there. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and 13 says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto the governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." So it's not just in taxes that we're commanded to submit to the government, but in every ordinance of man. As long as that ordinance doesn't conflict with the word of God, we have an obligation, if we want to be obedient to the word of God, to then be obedient to those ordinances. So the only exception is in those cases where the ordinance from man is in direct conflict with what the word of God clearly states. And so we can see an example like abortion. Clearly, it's an ordinance that says it's okay, but we know the word of God says it's not okay. In Acts 5 and 29, it says this, "Then Peter said to the other apostles," or he answered and said, "we ought to obey God rather than man." So there are some cases, only when there's a conflict, that we have now the obligation not to conform or submit to the authority of the government or our employer if it conflicts with the word of God, but only in those situations. So to recap, we have submission to spiritual authorities, submission to each other, submission to our employer, our bosses, to submit to their employees, and to submit to the government. So what's left? Our families. This principle of submission applies within our family structures as well. I remember when I was young thinking, when I'm older, when I'm able to provide for myself, well, then things will be really better because, you know, I won't have the oppression of my parents over me, and I won't feel so trapped in my life as a young person. But then as I grew older, I started taking on some of those responsibilities, and, you know, first it was a job. That's the gateway drug to responsibility. Often coupled with a driver's license, right? And now I need gas and insurance. And once you start, you can't go back. It only becomes more and more and more. I think I've told my daughter that a few times, and she'll attest it's true. And she's just getting started, right? So first it's a job, then it's a car, then it's college, then it's an apartment, then it's bills, and before you know, it was wife and kids. And so, yeah, I became in control of my destiny and actually have less flexibility and more, right? It's no longer just do whatever I want. So authority doesn't actually create more freedom, it creates less. So you see, when we mature with God, the more authority that God grants us, it actually comes with greater restrictions, not greater freedom. But we gladly take that because we see the value as we conform and obey. There's benefits. And so it's not a question of, is that a good trade? It is always a good trade. Matthew 20 and 27 says this, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life ransom for many." And so God is the example for us in even a family structure. And when I say us, let me shorten it and actually talk about husbands. Actually, before we get there, let's read through it in Ephesians chapter 6, if you turn there with me. Starting in verse 1, we'll start at the bottom of the food chain in the family structure. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 1, says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." See, right away, there you go. Obey, get benefits. It will be well with you. And it will be well with you for a long life. Then if we switch gears and we go to the next level of the hierarchy, we're going to actually go back to Ephesians chapter 5. You may not even need to turn the page to get there, starting in verse 22. Ephesians 5 and 22 says this, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And if we continue to read in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." God has put every authority is in place because God put it there. And so if you're a husband tonight, God has put you in a place of authority, but with that comes a greater responsibility, a greater obligation to be that sacrifice, to deny yourself because of the place God has put you in. And so it is true down the food chain as we submit one to another, we all reap the benefits. And there is no such thing as greater authority equals greater freedom or greater, you know, liberty. It means greater sacrifice. And if God puts you as a husband in that role, he's going to give you the equipment to fulfill that role if we'll conform to the word of God. You know, I'll use this example, again, speaking to husbands here, you know, even if you're right, it doesn't matter if you win the argument because you need to sometimes make the greater sacrifice to submit, to deny your self-will for your family. Tonight, if you turn to Romans chapter 13, our last portion of scripture, if the musicians would come. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 1. As we read this portion of scripture, this applies to every version of authority we've already covered. So spiritual authority, submitting one to another, government, employment, the family structure, and any others that aren't described in those words, this is a catch-all. In Romans 13 and verse 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And whosoever resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." God has put every authority, good and bad, in our lives according to his will and his purpose. And ours is the choice then, do we want to be in obedience or disobedience when we submit to that authority that God has placed in our lives? Now, If you'd stand with me, I want to leave you with one last thought tonight. And God has etched this in my mind. And when Brother Okovio preached it years ago, I don't even know how long ago it was. And this, the thought is this, that submission feels very different than agreement. In fact, submission never feels like agreement. You know, if we agree on something, it always feels good. It, you know, there's if we have whatever agreement, it's easy, right? We get along, we do things, it's agreeable. But if all of a sudden we don't agree, it feels very, very different. You know, think about times when maybe it's employment and something went wrong that shouldn't have gone the way it did. It didn't feel good. But it wasn't your call, was it? You know, there'll be times, in fact, many times, that even spiritual authority will maybe not do what you thought they should have done, and it doesn't feel agreeable because it's not the way you would have done it. But submission starts as soon as it doesn't feel agreeable. Submission never feels like agreement. Submission starts when disagreement enters into the mix. When all of a sudden it's not the way I would do it, and it's not the way I would think and the way I would feel. That's when all of a sudden we have to actually stop ourselves and say, okay, am I going to obey and submit? Or am I going to disobey and reap the consequences? It never feels good to submit. Oh, it feels good when you get the benefits at the end. Those are good. But at the moment at which submission happens, it never feels like agreement. And I've seen God in work, in my family, in church, and in every situation in my life, I've seen those tests come my way, and I've started to get to know that feeling of when it's, well, I'm not sure I would have done it that way. Oh, wait a minute. Are they? Yeah, okay. I'm just going to submit because I want the blessings of God in my life more than I care about my feelings about this particular situation or that particular person. Brother Okovio said it like this: submission starts the moment that there's disagreement. Because all authority is given by God and ordained of God, and whosoever resists it is going to receive unto themselves damnation. And not that we would do it with eye service or as men pleasers, but with humbleness and meekness. Not in obedience to man, but in obedience to the word of God, that it may be well unto us. We could have a lot of things going really great in our lives, and in one area all of a sudden find ourselves not willing to submit to that authority that God has put in whatever situation, and it can taint everything else. Sin has a way of spreading like a virus where it's one little thing, but all of a sudden it's not one little thing anymore. And in the middle of it, that it's almost like a flu sickness where all of a sudden you're not thinking straight, you're not seeing straight, you don't feel normal. And you start to even go further doing things that you would have never done before and saying things you would have never said before, all because of a little disobedience. And so tonight as we open up this altar, God is asking us to reevaluate the areas in our lives where maybe we've been resisting submission. Because he wants to bless us. Because he wants to fulfill his word in our lives. The altar's open.